Welcome back to the Roundtable's live broadcast from the Solid Sound Festival at Mass MoCA. This is the third Solid Sound and our third time broadcasting at Mass MoCA from this festival. We've taken the museum over two other times, but who's counting? Okay, it's us. We're counting, but we're proud. I'm Joe Donahue here with Alan Charter.
Hi, Joe. Since we're counting, you're here, I'm here. That's two WAMCers. The Roundtable's producer, Sarah LaDuke, is here, and so is our engineer, Adam Claremont. We're up to four on scene, and our engineers back in Master Control in Albany, Dave Hopper, brings it to five. Is this interesting?
It's not, but don't worry. We'll drop the counting, and we'll get on with the show, and we're set up in fine fashion in the Knuckle at Mass MoCA, just outside of the Solowit Galleries, and within leaping distance of many of the other attractions and stages on campus. But we won't weep. We'll politely walk around. This place is about to be full of enthusiastic music and art fans, and we wouldn't want to leap on into, you know, onto any of them.
Oh, yeah. Joining us now to tell us about what's going on and making this festival purr are our favorite, Joe Thompson, director of Mass MoCA, and Alex Crothers, promoter for Higher Ground.
Well, good, great
Joe,
to be here.
Alex, yeah. Good morning. How are you?
Really good, thank you. Good to be here.
First of all, Joe Thompson, what is it like to just see not only this festival grow, but I would assume that you can also put it into the Mass MoCA context of seeing this entire facility grow and flourish?
It's fabulous. I was just remembering that in 2009, when Alex and I first walked around this complex, trying to imagine whether or not it could even host an event like this, multiple stages, a whole layer of art taking place across the whole facility. What they now call Joe's Field, and I get to mow that, by the way, that comes with the naming opportunity. What they now call Joe's Field was just a junk field, basically. You could barely make it across the place. It was mud, piles of old steel. It didn't look anything like it did now. Courtyard D was only intermittently used. The place was now—it was a dump. And over the last two or three years, we've mowed the grass, added fence here and there, and it's become a really fabulous campus. So, among the other great dividends of this really lovely event is that it's opened up what was, you know, three or four buildings of galleries into 16 acres of historic, beautiful buildings and courtyards that people really enjoy all year long.
So I want to ask you something. What does it feel like to be you? I mean, you are a hero. My hero.
Thank you.
You are. You've created, you and Alex and everybody else here, have created this incredible place when everybody else said it would fail. It couldn't go. It was in North Adams. Whoever heard of that? So do you ever wake up in the middle of the night and say, I'm really something?
No, I often wake up thinking that people who had second thoughts, that was a mark of sanity on their part.
Yeah, but this is really unbelievable. If anybody hasn't been to North Adams, hasn't been to Mass MoCA, you got to get your keisters in the car or bicycle, whatever, and get up here.
People are coming. We had an unusual set of months that just went by. January was the best. We've been open now. This is our 15th year. We've had our 14th birthday last Memorial Day. And January was the best January that we've ever had, followed by February, the best February that we've ever had. March, we missed it by a couple of hundred. April was a record-setting April. May was a record-setting May. And I expect June, particularly with the Solid Sound Festival, is going to be equally strong. So people are traveling again, for sure. I think the word is increasingly out about the Berkshires as a place to come, even during the off-season. We've got a really wonderful installation by Zhu Bing.
I want to talk to you about that.
Monumental birds that people are coming back.
Could you just take a couple of seconds to tell us about that? That is an incredible story.
It's fantastic work. Zhu Bing has installed two monumental phoenixes constructed from debris from a construction site in downtown Beijing.
And why did he do that?
He did that because he was invited by a rich real estate developer to decorate the top floors of these luxury high-rise, and when Zhu Bing arrived, he was appalled by the conditions on the ground. The migrant workers who were building the buildings were living in what he, as he put it, the excrement of the building construction process itself, the construction debris. They were making their homes among them, and it was really rough conditions. He decided to make the piece of sculpture from the very materials that these workers were forced to live in. He I think the developer thought it was a joke. It wasn't a joke at all. He built these fabulous phoenix birds from the material. They're beautiful, strange. They're raw, rough, fantastic. They're full of political meaning, though, obviously. Yeah, and as it became clear that this was not a joke, the developer asked Zhubing what he was going to cover them in. And Zhubing said, "No, they're what they are. This is the truth." And he said, "No, how about if we put crystals or gold leaf or something like that on them and make them beautiful?" And Zhubing declined and was fired.
And his parents had been Mao'd.
That's right.
In a camp.
That's right. Zhubing's parents were intellectuals. They taught at the University of Beijing. And so in 1966 or 67, when the Cultural Revolution happened, they were sent off to the far west of China to pick potatoes.
So when you get the word out about something like that, you were starting to lead down the path of, because you have something like this, it brings people in. How do you get that story out?
Well, in this case, I think the people, you know, it's nice when you have something up that people actually like.
Oh, yeah. It's terrific. This will knock your eyes out.
Yeah, exactly. So word of mouth is strong. These have been nicely reviewed and well reviewed. Critics are interested in the work.
And
they've been writing reviews. That helps. And I think that this is one that really, when people go home, they remember it and they tell their neighbors.
Yeah.
Alex Crothers is the promoter for Higher Ground. And so you enter the picture in what year?
The conversation starts in late fall of 2007 with the band and their manager, Tony Margherita.
So what other sites were on? I mean, how many sites were you looking at?
There wasn't a litany of sites. It was more of an evolution of sites. We knew we wanted to focus on doing something in the Berkshires.
Okay.
And in late 2007, the conversation started. In 2008, we did a show at Tanglewood in August. We then evolved into doing a tour the next summer of minor league ballparks. And all along the while, we were sort of talking, and I'm not even sure if we used the word festival at that time. It was more just a concept of wanting to do something that we could call our own, that we could sort of build around Wilco and their side projects and the other band members' interests. So we didn't know exactly what form it was going to take. It was still a conversation that we were unpacking, you know. So I think we were careful not to have it constructed too tightly. We wanted to be open to, a lot of times the space speaks to you, right? So every space that a festival falls into, whether it's in Grant Park in Chicago, whether it's in Zilker Park down in Austin, Texas, whether it's in a polo field in, you know, Southern California, or if it's in an art museum in North Adams, Massachusetts, you have to let the space speak to you in terms of how you define the festival and how it's built around the space. So through some digging and searching, I found Mass Mocha. I called Joe. Joe had me on a plane a couple of weeks later. We came down here. We started to walk around. We walked out to what's affectionately known as Joe's Field now, but as Joe mentioned, was nothing more than basically his back 40. It was his dumping site. There were broken down airplanes and trashed cars and piles of rubble.
So do you see that, and is that a turnoff, or do you say, oh, we can change it?
No, you have to look past it. Yeah. So yeah. I look at that and I see opportunity. So
how important are you anyway? The reason I say that is I was talking to Baez, Joan Baez, of course, about her Tanglewood appearance. And we first saw her appear with Joe at Mass Mocha. And she said, I asked her about a particular song. And she said, oh, I don't pick all the songs. My manager picks the song. or my something else picks the song sometimes, not always. And how does that strike you? That gives you a lot of power.
Well, that's not the role I'm in particularly. Yeah. I'm more the promoter, so I'm the one kind of putting the festival and the concerts together. So Wilco has their manager, Tony Margherita, who, you know, works with them. I think every band, every artist has a different approach to whether, you know, the manager is more or less involved, helping pick songs, helping pick concert dates and tour dates and routing tours and album release cycles and those type of decisions.
But you never get substantively, and to go down this road one more try, you never get and make a total fool of myself. But do you ever say, hey, if you do this, we'll really put it over. This will be a good thing for you to do artistically.
We talk about it in the concept of this festival, right? So this festival is very much a collaboration between me and the band members and Tony Margherita and his team and Joe and the team here at Mass Mocha. There's a lot of contributing factors. So Joe and I were talking before we came on air. We were looking at all the ancillary events that are going on. So there's 17 bands that are playing over the course of the weekend, and they're all fantastic, you know, and we could talk about them for hours. But beyond the bands, there's a lot of things that are happening here, from, you know, axe restoration workshops to hair braiding to scavenger hunts to, what else do we have, urban birding on the list. I mean, stargazing with, you know, famed astronomers. I mean, there are things on the list that Joe and I were sort of just looking at each other saying, oh, is that on the list?
Well, what about what about urban birding? That really catches
our... We're going to talk about that later. We have to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. We'll continue our conversation here at Mass Mocha and the Solid Sound Festival. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. Welcome back to the Roundtable's live broadcast from the Solid Sound Festival at Mass Mocha. We are here with Joe Thompson, director of Mass Mocha, and Alex Crothers, promoter for Higher Ground, who he and Joe and the whole gang put this festival together. So, Joe, what is year three? You didn't do it last year. And so you have a year to kind of, you get a bit of a reprieve in the sense of allowing the creativity to stew for a little while.
You know, it helps a little, a break every now and then. It's not altogether bad. And we didn't go totally cold turkey, I should say. The band, with an immensely generous act, gave a benefit concert last year in the gap year, which was deeply appreciated by the home team here. But it does allow you time to think and come up with a particularly richly layered work. There's a great... we're sitting right next door to an installation called The Loft, for example, which Jeff Tweedy has very generously lent memorabilia and instruments from his studio in Chicago. And so the public here will get a really intimate inside look at how these guys live and work and where they make their music. That's the kind of thing that takes a little bit more advanced planning. I think the activities that overlay are fantastic. Story Publishing this year is going to do a fantastic program of sort of pop-up author talks all weekend long that are really focusing on the Berkshires, the region, sort of homegrown ideas from homegrown authors. That I think is going to be a very strong...
They'll be with component. Us later on in the program
good.
As well.
Glad they'll be joining. So anyway, there's just a lot of great activities going on that you can't, or, you know, it's a little... doing those in 9 months is sometimes hard. Taking an extra year every now and then helps.
And from your perspective, Alex, of having that year off,
I think it keeps everyone on their toes, which is good. I mean, part of what Solid Sound is about is the unexpected. So if you do something and it becomes expected, it's going to happen every year, it's going to be on this weekend, you can set your clock to it, then it loses a little bit of that spontaneity. So I think that's a piece of it, and that speaks to kind of the thesis of what Solid Sound is. There's also, sort of as Joe was intimating, there's so much time and effort and bandwidth put into by the band and their manager. So when the band is particularly active in a given year and they're out touring or making a record or recording or doing whatever it is they're doing as a band, they want to make sure they have enough time and energy to focus on contributing to Solid Sound and all of the wonderful exhibits and side projects and music that they do, to give it enough time to make sure it breathes and lives and lives up to the expectations and their level of quality that they want to see.
And yet this has been a sensational year for the band, hasn't it? I mean, you know, it isn't as if they're going into the recesses. They've had some year.
It's turned into I think a bigger year for them than anybody expected. I mean, they leave from here and they go out on a tour with Bob Dylan and My Morning Jacket that crisscrosses the entire country. They've been overseas. They just headlined Bonnaroo with Paul McCartney.
Right.
So I think when we started the conversation about coming back again this year in 2013, we had that conversation. It started last summer, really. and, you know, went into the fall. I think at that time the landscape looked a lot different, and, you know, like is apt to happen, things change.
So in our minute left, what does that mean for 2014 or the future of Solid Sound at Mass Mocha?
Right now we're focused on this weekend and making sure this weekend is amazing.
What office are you running for?
He's good. I'll tell you. I'll tell you. The man is good.
but so summer will be when those kind of, like, when this is done and the dust settles, then those conversations, if they take place, will take place.
Yeah, and those conversations will take place. But we all need to get a little time and perspective, and,
sure,
and just relish in what we've done here and unpack it a little bit, talk about what worked and what didn't, and then we can pick up the conversation for 2014.
Do you wear a suit and a tie when you do that?
No.
Never.
What you see is what you get. I'm wearing my Saul LeWitt t-shirt today.
Yeah,
Joe.
I noticed. You came in costume.
Joe Thompson and Alex Crothers are, it's wonderful to have you both here. I thank you very, very much. I know it's just insane getting all of this together and for you to take time out of your day and for the festival to be with us. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much and have a wonderful, wonderful weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Alan.
You're listening to the Roundtable's live broadcast from the Solid Sound Festival at Mass Mocha on WAMC.